Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, you find the account of the lame man that was healed here. He was lame from his mother's womb, the Bible said in verse 2, and was carried. And they're laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms, and Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entering with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. That's a verse I want to look at tonight. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed helped Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now there's a phrase that I want to get out of this tonight. All the people saw him. All the people saw him walking and praising God. Everybody saw him. Now, if we get into the context of it tonight, this man was known by everybody around there. He'd been laying at that gate at the temple. He'd been laying there. Many of them had given him money, given him alms, and all of this. And there he was. Everybody knew this man. And so it was no doubt that this was the one that they knew and they seen walking and leaping and praising God. But all of his life, this man was lame. He'd never walked. He'd never run. All of his life he'd been lame. But all of a sudden he comes out of that place, walking and leaping and praising God. And there's a thought that I want to get in your hearts and minds tonight if I can. But I want you to think about this. They saw him and they knew him. Now, what do you think they were saying about this man? What do we think? They were greatly wondering, the Bible said. But here's something that stood out to me. I believe somebody would say about this man, somebody has been talking to God. Somebody has been talking to God. Only God could do what was done to him. And if you think about it tonight, when you got saved and when I got saved, somebody had been talking to God. Somebody had talked to God about us. Somebody prayed for us. Somebody has been talking to God. And I thought about that when this man was doing this. Now, if you notice here, he was a lame man. Of course, the condition of every person that's unsaved, that's what he's a picture of tonight. But if we notice the Bible said here, one thing about Peter and John, they went up together into the temple. They went up together into the temple. They were at one in worship. They went up together into the temple to worship God. Secondly, it was an hour of prayer. It was a time to pray. They were going up there to pray. So they'd been there before. There had been other people there that was praying. And how many people you think passed this man by when they was going to the temple and looked at him, and when they got to the temple, they began to pray for him? Somebody had been talking to God. God saved this man and redeemed this man, because somebody was interested in this man's soul. That's the reason we got in today. That's the reason I got in. Somebody had been talking to God about my soul. It may have been mama, might have been daddy, might have been the preacher. I'm sure that all of them did about my soul. But somebody had been talking to God. And so for people to get salvation, and for people to get some help from God, somebody's got to talk to God for them. Now, you can't do it for them, per se, but you can pray for them. You can approach God for them. And so I thought about that, and this really worked on my heart. How many times did I fail to talk to God about somebody? somebody that I passed by, somebody that I knew, somebody that I'm acquainted with. I try to witness, I try to talk to folks about God, but I'm sure and I know that I've missed some folks down through the years. There's been folks that I missed, and I knew later on that I should not have missed them because they went out to meet God without being saved. And so there's the fact of it is that this man had some folks around him that was interested in worshiping God. Peter and John was going to the house of prayer. They were going to the temple. They were going down there to worship God. And they were going at the hour of prayer. It was a custom, and they knew that when they got there, just what we have prayer meeting here on Wednesday night. We come to pray. We come to seek the face of God. The prayer requests are being laid known. And why do we do that? We do it because that we got to talk to God about somebody. And so these folks that are mentioned tonight, and folks that we mention, and folks that we hear mention, are folks that we've got to talk to God about. We've got to pray for them, and we've got to approach God for them and ask God to deal with them and to bring conviction upon them. And so God is interested in us being interested in the sinner. He's already interested in them because he gave his son to die for them. But you know, life as we live it today, as we live day by day, we're individuals, and man has got individual interests and things that are going on in their lives. And so what does he do? He uses individuals to pray for individuals. It's our duty to do that. Jesus was one that did that. He prayed for everybody. And he prayed for you and I in John chapter 17. He prayed for you and I. He prayed for us. Oh, what a blessing it is to have somebody talk to God for us. Amen. You know the reason we made it through this today, through the day? Because Jesus prayed for us. He prayed for us. Amen. He touched the hand of God for us. And so he prayed for us. So they went up. And if you notice now, the gift this man got was worth more than money. Look at verses 6, the Bible said. And verses 6. And then Peter has said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He had something that was better than money. And that was salvation. That's what that he got. And so here we find that somebody touched God for this man. Somebody was praying for him. Sure, Peter and John had a great thing to do in this. Sure, they made the statement there. But I believe with all of my heart that somebody had been talking to God about him. Somebody there in the temple was talking to God about this man. They knew him. They knew probably his parents, knew his family. They probably knew his brothers or sisters. They knew this man. They knew what he was. They knew how he was all of his life. He had a desperate need in his life. And somebody cared in that community. And somebody cared in that temple to pray for this man and seek the face of God for this man. Somebody talked to God about this man. Amen. Amen. So I'm glad somebody talked to God about me. Amen. Aren't you glad God done? I had somebody interested in your soul. Amen. Somebody interested in what? And then I'm going to get down to verse chapter 4 tonight. In chapter 4, here's something I want to be interested in here about the. And this is probably is going to be relative to our day today, because we are starting to face some things that we're going to face if the Lord don't come back real soon. We're going to be facing a lot of things that this church faced in that day. And then Acts chapter 4, the Bible said in verse 23, the Bible, of course, you know, when this man was healed, of course, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. The chief priests and elders had told them, don't you preach in his name, don't you teach in his name, in this name of Jesus. And so they told them, after they let them go, what did they do? They went to their own company. They went to their own crowd. Amen. Boy, that's where we got to go when we're told to be quiet about the Lord. We got to go to their own crowd. Amen. We got to go to those that believe like we believe, those that are witnessing, those that are preaching, and those that are teaching, those that are worshiping. We've got to go to that crowd. And so what they did, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. They said, let me tell you what we've been told not to do. So in other words, speaking like in our day today, we come to the church tonight and we say, let me tell you what they told me not to do today. We're not to teach in the name of Jesus. We're not to preach in the name of Jesus. Let me tell y'all about what's taking place. So we got the setting of it. And when they heard that, what did they do? They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. They recognized the supreme being that was going to help them in their situation, and they prayed to the God of heaven and said, Lord, thou art God, and said, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Oh, we're seeing more of that today. More of that today. That's right. And this early day of the church here knew what it was to be persecuted for the cause of Christ. For believing the Bible, for believing the scriptures, and standing for it, they were persecuted in that day. And we're also being done the same thing today. Amen. And he said, for the truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, have to do whatsoever thy hand had thy counsel determined before to be done. Now look here, what did they do? What did they do? Well, I tell you what they did. They talked to God about it. Amen. And the Bible said, and now Lord, behold their threatenings. And behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. We're not to be quiet. We're not to shut up. We're not to stop speaking about the things of God. We're not to close our Bible. We're not to stop preaching. And we're to proclaim it just like we always have. Amen. Amen. That's what we're going to see today. He said, hey, now, what did they? They said, now they told God about, they talk to the Lord. And what did they do? And grant with all boldness that they may speak thy word. I'm thou stretching forth thine hand to heal and sign wonders be done in the name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Somebody was talking to God. Somebody was talking to God. Somebody was praying. Somebody was having a little bit more than now lay me down to sleep. Somebody had got alone with God. Somebody was praying to the God of heaven. And what were they doing? They were telling on them. Yes. And that's what we need to do when somebody does something against the church and against the Christians. Well, tell God on them. Amen. Amen. You can tell the sheriff and he can't do a lot. You can tell the attorney general and he can't do a lot. But I tell you what, you can tell the Lord, we can talk to God, and we can approach God and tell God on them. Amen. Yes, amen. And tell God on them. And Bible said they touched God. Amen. They touched God. The early church did. They touched God. And so we find the results of it. And they told God on that in verse 29. In verse 29, the Bible said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Lord, behold their, look what they're saying about what we're supposed to do. So they told God on that crowd. That's what we can do today. Well, somebody better talk to God in this generation today. Somebody better talk to God. We better talk to God. Amen. We better talk to God. I mean, really pray to the God of heaven. Amen. Really get a hold of the throne room of God. And what happened when they prayed? What happened when they prayed? I know it's a transition period here in the book of Acts between the Old Testament and the church. I know what it is and the formation of it here, the early church, the Acts of the church is being shown. I understand all those things. But I'm telling you, brother, it's a time when they began to pray and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. The building shook where they were assembled together. Amen. I mean, brother, some shaking going on. Amen. Oh, why? Because somebody was talking to God. Somebody was talking to the God of heaven. What a privilege we have up today to talk to the God of heaven. I mean, how it's one thing to pray, but it's one thing to really talk to God and fervent prayer before God. I mean, red hot prayer, talking to God, praying to God, the God of heaven. Get in a prayer closet. Get along with God. Get on our face before God. Shed some tears from a broken heart because of what's going on in our land today. We need that today. We need that. Oh, yes. And the Bible said, and this was happening in that day. And this is beginning to happen in our day. Amen. Now, if you don't believe that, you better get your head out of the sand. But I'm telling you, brother, this thing's coming upon us. The church is not a popular thing in the world today. But it's the only thing that's holding this world together. And it's the only thing that's holding the United States together today. It's the people of God and the true children of God. And that's got their face turned toward heaven and talking to God. Somebody better talk to God.
Amen.
Somebody better talk to God. And the multitude that believe of one heart, of one soul, we better get together with God, amen, and get together with each other. Amen. Multitude of them that believe were of one heart and one soul. And all these things they were doing here, they're trying to win folks to God, but somebody was talking to God. And the place was shaken, and the Bible said they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And the need of our land today is for God's people to get filled with the Holy Ghost of God. I know we got the Holy Ghost when we got saved, but he said, be you filled with the Spirit of God. It's our daily duty to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God, and we can't do it unless we talk to God. Amen.
Amen.
We've got to talk to God. Somebody better talk to God. Somebody better talk to God. The Bible said, and they spake the word of God boldly. You can't shut God's man up if he's full of the Holy Ghost and preaching. You read about the early apostles, brother. They were beaten. They were scourged. Everything in the world happened to them. They were crucified and all these things. Did it stop them? No, it didn't stop them. It didn't stop them from going to the house of God. It didn't stop them from preaching. It didn't stop them from witnessing. It didn't stop them from singing the praise of God. It didn't stop them from worshiping. There was still joy in the church because they had been talking to the God of heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Been talking to God.
Amen.
We better talk to God. Somebody better get a hold of God. Somebody better talk to God in these days.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody better talk to God. Then I want to go to Book of Acts chapter 9. Book of Acts chapter 9 tonight. And we know the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. We know that. We know, and we are familiar with the studying of that because of what happened to this Saul of Tarsus. When God got a hold of him, he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And the Bible said, if you'll notice now, in verses 1 and 2, and desired of him letters to Damascus and to the synagogue, that if any found of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And we know the story how this man was going with letters in his pocket, with warrants in his pocket to arrest Christians at Damascus, going down there, and brother Karen, the persecution of the church down to Damascus and Thessalonica and the different places in Macedonia, and we're going down there to persecute them. But listen, on the way to Damascus, brother, something happened to this man. Why did it happen to Saul of Tarsus? Because somebody had been talking to God.
Amen.
Somebody had been talking to God. I got to studying about that and reading about that. And you know what? You know who was talking to God, I believe, about this man? It was those Christians, and there was old Stephen. And we know that Stephen, we know that's a story that's old, but it's still good. Because, man, here was a Stephen, a godly deacon that prayed, but they got stoned to death for preaching the word of God. And there was somebody standing in that camp that day, and there was holding some coats, and somebody standing back out of the way from everybody else. I was telling them to go ahead and get on with it. There was somebody standing there, and that was Saul of Tarsus, and that's who it was. But I tell you, I knew somebody was talking to God about this man.
Amen.
This man's soul got saved because somebody was talking to God about it. Somebody was talking to God. Do you believe Stephen prayed for him? Do you believe Stephen saw him that day? I believe the Holy Ghost has zeroed him in on the Saul of Tarsus. And you know, and you say, well, he was the worst sinner there. Yeah, that's what Jesus died for the worst sinner. I don't care how bad they are. I don't care how rough they are. I don't care how wicked they are. Jesus died for them, and somebody better talk to God about them. Brother Paul and Stephen, I believe, talked to God about Saul of Tarsus. Boy, he is foaming at the mouth. He is mad as he could be. I mean, they gnashed on him with their teeth. They was angry because that this man Stephen had the face of an angel. He's looking up toward heaven, and he was said, "I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father." And what did he do? He went to glory that day, praying with joy in his heart. He was talking to God about some sinners that was all around him. And one and especially was Saul of Tarsus. Did he get away with it? Did Saul get away with it? No, he didn't get away with it, like I didn't get away with it. Somebody talked to God about me, and I didn't get away with it. Amen. I got saved that night because somebody been talking to God about my soul. And brother, I got redeemed that night and got under conviction because somebody cared and somebody prayed and somebody talked to God about my soul in earnest. Amen. They prayed in the Holy Ghost. And on the road to Damascus, of course, we know what happened to Saul of Tarsus. He met Jesus. Amen. Stephen had touched God for this man's life. How many Saul of Tarsus do we know? Some of us know some Sauls that don't like God, don't have anything to do with God, don't want to live for God, don't want to go to church. We all know some Sauls. Somebody better talk to God about them. If we don't, they're going to go to hell without God. Amen. Somebody better talk to God. Then I want to go over to chapter 12 tonight. I know it's just a message. It's not any formality about it any way at all. But it's my heart tonight. Somebody better talk to God. Somebody better get a hold of God. Somebody touched God in these people's lives. Somebody touched God in your life, in my life. Somebody better talk to God. Acts chapter 12. Oh, I know a good story here about Peter. Peter's a good man of God. He was a good man of God. And of course, he got in the jailhouse. He got in jail. He didn't go there because he was guilty of anything except preaching the gospel. He didn't go to jail because he was a thief. He didn't go to jail because he was a murderer. He went to jail because he's a Christian. Amen. Amen. And the Bible said, if you notice now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. You know who they're going to come after? Those that are doing something for God. Those that are willing to take a stand for Jesus. That's who they're going to go after. Amen. Certain of the church. There were some of them that wouldn't stand. Amen. There were some that wouldn't stand. There were some that wouldn't bear testimony, but there were some that did. And they vexed certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. I mean, he got killed with a sword. They killed him with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. What would Peter think? What would you think? Well, I guess I'm next. I guess I'm next. Just cut his head off. Now they come to arrest me. Same guy that got him has got me. Because he killed James, and now he come after me. And he proceeded to take Peter also. These were the days of unleavened bread. And when he apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him before the quaternions of soldier to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. That's all they had to do, just bring before the people. Then they wind up crucified. Now look here, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Somebody. Peter was sitting over there in the jailhouse. It was not air conditioned. There was no TV. There was no floor. It was dirt. There was rats and mice and there was bugs and everything else. And there was water in that place. It was not a pleasant place to be. Not a good place to be. He was kept in prison. The Bible said he had four quarterings of soldiers to keep him until after Easter to bring him forth to the people. They were putting guard on him. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forward, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. How do you go to sleep in a dungeon like that? The only way you do is by the grace of God. Amen. I guess if Daniel could sleep in the lion's den, I think Peter could sleep in the dungeon. Amen. In the prison, he could go to sleep there. Amen. And so the Bible said when Herod would have brought him forth, and that Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers bound before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And then he smote Peter on the side and said, and raised him up, saying, "Rise, get up quickly. Put on your garment. Put on your sandals." Peter thought he's dreaming. You ever had a good vivid dream? Peter thought he's dreaming. He thought he's dreaming now. But I'm going to tell you what's happening here. Somebody was talking to God. Amen. And the angel said to him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now know the surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of Judah." He said, "Boy, this is real. The gate opened by itself. Everything is, I've got delivered." And why? Well, we're going to find out why. George, you already know. That's the reason I'd like to do it again. Amen. And when Peter come to him, said, when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together. What was they doing? Talking to God. Praying. He knew what house to go to. Huh? He knew whose house to go to. Mary, the mother of John. John Mark, of course. And he knew exactly where to go to. And he knew where some folks would be praying at. Amen. And when he had, and when Peter was, and when as Peter knocked on the door, at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Peter's outside the gate. Now, let's look at this crowd on the inside. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad. You're crazy. You're mad." Boy, it sounded like a lot of faith going on in there, didn't it? But let me tell you something. I don't know who all was in there. It may have been that damsel that was talking to God, because she recognized Peter's voice. And she had said, "It's him." She didn't say he's a ghost or it's a spirit. She didn't say that. They said that. Somebody had been talking to God in that house. And they said, "Thou art mad." And she constantly affirmed that it was even so. It's him. In the words we could put in our language today, we could say, I was praying for Peter and he's outside. I know it's him. God has delivered him. Amen. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declaring to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Didn't have much fellowship there, did he? He just left and went somewhere else. But Rhoda, I believe, had been talking to God. I can't back that up. I just know she knew him, and she believed it was him outside the gate. Somebody been talking to God. I'll be honest with you. If I get in jail for preaching, I want somebody to talk to God for me.
Amen.
Amen. Because jail's not an easy place. I've seen enough of it. I've not been in one as a prisoner. I've been in preaching inside them. I know about what I wouldn't want to be incarcerated. Amen. I'm not interested in that. But if I did, and there'd be enough grace that was there as it was for Paul and Silas, I could be singing and praising God at midnight too. Because somebody was talking to God. So Peter was in prison, but somebody talked to God for him. Now, you see, we're to pray for sinners. We're to pray for sinners. We're to pray for backsliders. But we're also to pray for those that's being despitefully used and that are being persecuted for the cause of Christ. We've got folks overseas now, and for even in the United States, are being persecuted for being a Christian. It's not on the news, and it never will be. But God knows about it. If we get somebody that's being persecuted for the cause of Christ, and we read a missionary letter that tells about being persecuted for the cause of Christ and things.